Letters and Manuscripts, Volume 12, 1897. The Jews' Rejection of Christ, September 23, 1897. Portions of this manuscript are published in TDG 275. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. John 15, verse 18 to 20. The Savior understood perfectly every trial that would come to his chosen disciples, whom he calls, not servants, but friends, and the lessons given them were for their future benefit and eternal good. Christ would have his disciples bear in mind that he, their Lord and Master, was not seen and acknowledged. He had declared himself the way, the truth, and the life. Daily the truth was brought before the Pharisees, the priests, the rulers, and the world. But those who should have known by its fruit the character of the tree did not know Christ. They did not see the truth as truth. If they have persecuted me, said Christ, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But these things will they do unto you, because they know not him that sent me. Verses 20, 21. The world, and those churches that are converted to the same sentiments that the world receives and cherishes, will make it exceedingly hard for men and women to be loyal to the ruler of the universe. The church and the world are traveling the same path, under the same general. They do not choose the straight gate and narrow way leading unto eternal life. They know not the Father, or Jesus Christ whom he has sent. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. Verse 10. The disciples knew that the teachings of Christ were of a convincing character. They knew that he kept his Father's commandments. His words to them were a convincing power, speaking to their senses and their hearts. They were the gospel invitation, bidding them partake of the heavenly banquet, the rich repast prepared for them. He that hateth me, hateth my Father also. Verse 23. Christ himself was the perfection of the Father, but the priests who might have received richest blessings through Christ and rejoiced in the truth, having the light of truth flashing into their minds and hearts, refused to be convinced, either by his words, which led people to say, "Never man spake like this man," John 7, verse 46, or by his works. "If I had not done among them," said Christ, "the works that none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause." John 15, verse 24, 25. All Christ's miracles were wrought to bless those whom these leading Jews neglected and despised and refused to help. And he was beloved because he was the restorer, the great physician. All his graces were light from heaven. In every good work he sought to lead them to accept him as their personal Savior. His life was fragrant, a savor of life unto life. He brought sunshine into the heart and home. They came to him mourning, and left him with songs of praise and glad rejoicing. He offered himself to them, that they might give him a home in their hearts. And yet they would not receive him. While they claimed to keep the law, they denied it by their works. Having eyes they saw not, because of the ignorance that was in them through the hardness of their hearts. The impurity of their hearts, the defiling practices of their lives, their selfishness, their envy, their jealousy, their evil surmising, their transgression of the law of God, while they claimed to keep it, bore continual testimony as to their character. By the fruit the tree was known. Christ laid bare their true character. He declared that they were teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Again he says, "Ye know not the Scriptures, nor the power of God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Matthew 5, verse 8. How would they see God in the way that Enoch saw him? They had the privilege of walking and talking with God. By faith Enoch lived in the presence of God 300 years. By faith he saw the faith of Jesus. He was taken into special favor with him. The priests and rulers needed just such an experience as Enoch had. They needed a continual sense of the presence of God. Oh, what riches of grace the Lord longed to bestow upon the favored people of God! It is represented in the call to the supper prepared for them. Come, for all things are now ready. Luke 14, verse 17. Sin clouds the perceptions. It creates a thick cloud between the soul and God. But this cloud of self-esteem, self-love, selfishness of any form must be swept away, or the soul will not feed on Christ, the Word of God. Through the regeneration of the Word, light comes to the darkened understanding. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. John 15, verse 26-27. A man shall be a hiding place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Isaiah 32, verse 2. What man? Christ Jesus, the rock cleft for every son and daughter of Adam. He that heareth my words and doeth them, Christ said, is building upon the rock. Oh, why did not the Jewish nation see God in Christ? Why did they not say, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I would see God"? Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. If by faith the Jewish nation had been Christ's witnesses, saying, "He is my rock, the Lord Jehovah is an everlasting strength," Jerusalem would not have been destroyed. Psalm 92, verse 15, Isaiah 26, verse 4. The disciples sent by John inquired of Jesus, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" Matthew 11, verse 3. Why was this question sent by John to Christ? The disciples of John were offended because Christ did not deliver the Baptist from prison, and they made suggestions to John, casting reflections upon Christ that were painful to him. John said, "I send you to the great teacher to ask him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" Christ was in the midst of his work of restoring the afflicted, and by this work seeking to reach hearts and plant the seeds of truth. After he had performed his work, he answered the question of the disciples, "Go and show John again those things ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." Verses 4 to 6. There were to arise the very same questionings among Christ's own disciples when they should see their master in the hands of wicked men who were putting upon him every indignity. Why did Christ allow them to take him when, at the word, "Whom seek ye?" an unseen power caused them to fall helpless to the ground? John 18, verse 4 to 6. Why did he suffer himself to be bound? Why did he not exercise his power, break the cords, and show his enemies that he was all that he claimed to be? Oh, why did he not deliver himself when he was betrayed by Judas? Those feelings Christ knew they would have during the hours of his humiliation, insult, and mockery, when they shamefully spat in his face and struck him in the face with their hands. Could this man be the world's Redeemer? Christ knew they all would forsake him and leave him alone. Yes, they were all offended as he knew they would be. Therefore, he warned them to be on their guard and not yield to temptation, for Satan desired to have them, that he might sift them as wheat. How often has the message been given, man of God, to exhort the people to be sober-minded? The youth decidedly fail here. They should show themselves men and women of common sense. All should sense the peril they are in when not connected with God. Let the question be asked, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Deal honestly with your own souls, and deal honestly with God. As you would choose that which is for your eternal interest, decide this question.